It's got a message to it. Well, it's been a great morning. We are getting close to the noon meal, but we're going to have one final speaker. I'm going to ask Brother Colin Morton to come up. Brother Colin, Brother Hodges preached this morning about secession and looking to see who's going to follow you. And I'm proud of what we can point to with the college, 40 years and still doing it, still doing it. Brother Colin Morton is one we can point to. Here out of our church and graduating our college and now pastoring, we sent him up to straighten New York out. He's got a big job ahead of him, but I believe he's capable. I'm joking with him a little bit, but he did a good job here, not only as a student, but working in our day school and also being our youth leader. And got a wife and baby, and they're just a great team for God. And so we're asking him to come be our final speaker this morning. Good to have you, Brother Colin.
Thank you so much, Pastor Carter. It is an honor to be here, and I would much rather hear my pastor preach and Dr. Drake sitting there and others. So good to hear Brother Strange preach. And I still remember when he preached the message, God in the Hands of Angry Sinners. And that's still one I treasure. And it's just an honor to be here. And as a younger pastor, I want to say thank you to all the pastors that have been doing it for years and years. And you've given us younger pastors, younger preacher boys, an example to look to and to follow and to follow in your footsteps. And I'm truly honored to be here. Thank you for this opportunity to bring God's word to you. I'm nervous, so I'm going to preach something I preached recently. So if you would, grab your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we'll be this morning. And I've got no pressure because after me is lunch. So I could tank, I could bomb, but we're going to eat after this. So 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we'll be. For the sake of time here, we're going to just kind of skip down to verse number 19. But I will kind of briefly fill you in on what we would have seen in the first several verses. You would have seen that the wicked king Ahab is out to get Elijah. He does not like Elijah because Elijah is a lot like our pastor here. He just stands up, doesn't care who he's talking to. He just tells the truth. And he was telling the truth about wicked King Ahab's sin and talking against his wicked wife Jezebel. And he was out to get him. And I don't know about you, but if someone's out to kill me and I know that this man is capable of doing so, I don't know if I'd be looking for him. I try to be getting as far away as I can from him, but Elijah is actually looking for the man responsible to try to kill him. So this is where we'll pick it up in verse number 19. The Bible says this, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." And we'll pause there and we'll ask God to bless our time together this morning. Dear the Father, we thank you so much for your word. And there was so many pastors before that's preached and said a lot about your word, God, but we can't say enough about it. Without the word of God, we wouldn't know how to be saved. Without the word of God, we wouldn't know what you expect from us as Christians, Lord. I couldn't ever dare to be the father to my children I should be, the husband to my wife that I should be, Lord. Thank you so much for the word of God that we have inspired and preserved in our language that we can read and understand. I pray that you would take this simple thought and just speak to hearts today and hopefully be an encouragement to pastors and pastors' wives and college students and high school students and everyone here, Lord. I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Now we see here that Elijah, as approached by Obadiah, he was the governor of the wicked King Ahab. And Obadiah said, listen, King Ahab's coming out to get you. And Elijah said, okay, good. I want you to go to him, and I want you to tell him some things. He said, I want you to get Ahab to get all of the false prophets of Baal, all the false prophets of the grove, and I want you to meet me on top of Mount Carmel. And by the way, bring all the people there too. So we see three things quickly, and I'll give them to you quickly, and we'll be getting lunch, but three things that Elijah's faith gave him. Three things that Elijah, having faith in his God, produced in his life. And I believe as believers this morning, born again children of God, that are living our lives by faith, If we are, then it'll produce these same three things. Number one, Elijah's faith resulted in Elijah having a spirit of boldness. Elijah had boldness, and you could say a lot of different things about Elijah, but you couldn't say he was not bold. He had a boldness about him. What are you talking about? Well, the first way that we see Elijah had boldness was how he spoke to the king. Now, I've already told you, if someone's out to kill me, I don't know if I would get near him, but he did. And he even spoke, the way that he spoke to the king showed how much boldness that he had in his God. And any moment, Elijah could have just snapped, King Ahab could have snapped his fingers, and Elijah would have been probably 6 or 8 inches shorter, okay? But it didn't bother him. He had boldness. He had a faith in his God that allowed him to talk to the king that we read him talking. He said, listen here, you are going to get all the people, and you are going to meet me on top of the mountain. He had boldness in the way that he spoke to the king. But not only that was interesting to me, but also we see he had boldness in his God because of the conditions that he made. He said, listen, we're going to settle this once and for all. We're going to settle this argument once and for all. If your God, the false God that you serve, is right, or mine, and this is how we're going to do it. He was bold by the conditions of the test that he was putting their gods up to. He said, this is how we're going to solve it once and for all. You are going to get your sacrifice and build you an altar, and you're going to sacrifice your sacrifice to your God, and I'll do the same over here. And the God that brings down fire will be the one true God. That'll solve this question once and for all. So he was putting God to the test. He was trusting God that as he stepped out by faith, that his God would answer and bless his faith by bringing down fire. He was also bold not only with how he spoke to the king, not only by the conditions of the test, but also he was bold by saying they could go first. Now, you can look at it different ways, but I see it as those people, by going first, he was taking a calculated risk. Because if those false prophets even conjured up something similar to fire, everyone on that mountainside would be convinced that that was the God. But he had boldness, and the conditions of the test didn't bother him, and he didn't mind that they went first because he knew that his God was the one true God. And he had faith in that God, and that faith produced in his life a boldness. Number two, we not only see the boldness that was produced in Elijah's life, and we can stop and preach about that whole message on that. The world, he talked about New York being wicked, and it is. It is wicked. Just heard in the news recently about the pedophiles, or they're calling themselves minor attracted people. And it's being pushed in legislation right now to include pedophiles, people that want to do wicked things to little kids, and make that acceptable. That's wicked. That's wicked. The Bible speaks against that. But you know what? The world is bold about what they believe. Man, they orchestrate marches through town. They'll wear it on a t-shirt. They'll proclaim it on their social media. It's everywhere. They're bold about it. And Christians, we shouldn't complain about it, because Christians aren't being as loud and vocal and taking a stand that we should. They're bold about what they believe, but meanwhile, we're sitting on the sidelines not saying anything. Well, I'm thankful for a Landmark Baptist Church and being bold about what they believe and standing for the truth. I like the theme is hold forth the line, and my pastor has done that for many, many years, and I strive to do the same in New York. He had boldness, and we need a people that are living out their lives in faith and being bold about what they believe. Number two, Elijah's faith not only gave him a boldness, but it gave him a burden. It gave him a burden. Now, if I don't believe there's anything new under the sun, but it was new to me, and I was excited about it. I'm thinking, why on earth would he, Elijah, be willing to go through everything that we're reading about? Why would Elijah risk his own life, put his own life on the line and jeopardize his own life? It wasn't because Elijah was an adrenaline junkie. It wasn't because he had nothing better that he could be doing. Then I realized the reason why he did everything that he did, the reason why he put the conditions the way they were, he was burdened for God's people. He was burdened for God's people. And I, as a pastor, I want to see the church grow. And we're a pretty small congregation. And I want to see it grow. And I have, Lord's given me some ideas to do programs and different ministries and different things. But more than anything, I never want to lose a burden for people. And Brother Strange was talking about having broken people. And we, right before we left, were dealing with some people in our church that are broken and hurting and going through some things. And I never want to lose the burden that God has given me to preach His gospel to people. He was burdened for people. Look at it with me in verse 21. The Bible says this, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Elijah was burdened for God's people because God's people were the ones that God had chosen to be His peculiar people and to lead into the promised land, and yet they were halting. They were halted between two opinions, stuck in the middle. And I can't remember who said it, but someone from this church said, "There's nothing good in the middle of the road. What you'll find is dead things and a yellow stripe." People that are in the middle are either dead spiritually or they have a yellow stripe run down their back and they're too scared to make up their minds, "I'm going to serve God or serve the world." These people were just like that. And Elijah was burdened for God's people because he knew that all the things that God had in store for him, but that they'd have to get off the fence in order to see that come to fruition. Elijah was burdened for his people. Now, this is pretty strong language. I may have interpreted it wrong. I could be wrong. But it says this, he is so burdened that he wants them just to make a decision, regardless of what decision it was. He said, "Listen, I'm so burdened that you're on the fence and stuck in the middle." And we all know what the Lord looks at people in the middle, makes him sick to his stomach. And it made Elijah sick to his stomach. He said, "Listen, if the Lord be God, if you come to a place in your life that you believe that God is who He says He is, follow Him. But if you think that Baal is the one true God that you should be serving, these false gods are it, then follow him." To me, I see that as making a decision, whether it was wrong, right or wrong, was better than being stuck in the middle. I'm thankful that a long time ago, I've decided just to follow Christ by faith and trust him and get off the fence. He was burdened for his people, not only to make a decision and get off the fence, but he was also burdened for his people to show them the old way still works. The old way still works. If you would look at it with me in our text, verse number 30, it'll show us more about this. In verse number 30, it says this. So Elijah lets the false prophets go first. And I love Elijah for many reasons. This one's not so spiritual. But he lets them go first. And they get in there and they lay their sacrifices, get everything ready, and they begin to call out to their false gods. And they call out, and Elijah's sitting over there. He's patient. He gives them as much time as they need all day. Lunchtime comes. All day goes by. I like Elijah for many reasons, but look at it with me in verse 27. This is not spiritual, but I like it anyway. Verse 27, it says this, "And it came to pass at noon," so they had been going from morning until noon, "that Elijah mocked them." He was sitting there having a great time. He was sitting there letting them go first, and he began to call out to them, "Hey, your God's a God. Maybe he's tired. Maybe yell a little bit louder. Maybe wake him up. Maybe he's gone, and maybe he's going to come back later." He was mocking them and having just a great time. And then he gives them all the time that they need. Now it's his turn. Verse number 30 says this, "And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me." Now, I think by this time, the mood has completely changed. He got past the rebuking. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Got past letting them go and mocking them. I think the whole mood changes on Mount Carmel that day. It begins to be serious. It begins to be sober. He says, "Listen, all of you come near to me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but this really stuck out to me. Remember, just jumped off the page at me. If something was broken down and in need of repair, it was probably neglected. It probably, since it was neglected, probably was the bricks were down and there was weeds growing through it. Maybe not even a fragment left on it from the previous sacrifices. if something was broken down and needed repair, probably didn't get much use. Probably was that way because it had been neglected for years and years. Elijah was burdened for his people, not only just to make up their minds about who God was, but he wanted them to remind them that the old way still works. Now, I'm young. I'm 28 years old, but I'm a young guy that was born in the old path, raised in the old path, taught in the old path, and by God's grace, I'll live and die on the old path. And I'm not one that we have to, you know, bring in the music of the world and the standards of the world and the Bible of the world to draw a crowd. Because Brother Parsons actually said something, just because something swells doesn't mean it's growing. Dead animals still swell, but they're not growing. They're dead. They're dead. Just because you can pack out a church house doesn't mean that God's within a country mile of that place. But I'm telling you that the old way of doing things still works. Still works. So I believe he comes down by that altar that had been neglected, and he begins to stoop down in front of everyone looking that day. He begins to stack up the bricks and make the altar what it used to be. He was showing everybody, hey, you remember a while back that God said, this is how we're supposed to sacrifice. This is how God wants us to worship him and to offer praises of sacrifice to him. This is where you should have stayed. This is where you should have stayed. The old way still works. You left for the new way and the new modern way and the way that culture has led you to the worship the false prophets of the grove and false prophets of Baal. But this is where God intended you to stay. He was burdened for his people to understand that the old way still works. King James Bible is still the word of God that we're supposed to be using. The old way still works. Old-fashioned, door-to-door, confrontational soul winning still works. There's no sense of changing that. It still works. He also was burdened for his people to see the power of God for themselves. He wanted them to see and be reminded of God's power. Look at it with me in verse 37. It says this in verse number 37. Then he begins, he prepares a sacrifice on his altar now. And just because he knows how much God that he serves, the great God that he serves is, he goes above and beyond to prove to those folks just how much God was really God. So this, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, and I'm from the South, but I'm not redneck. So let me just explain this a little bit. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was raised in deep woods of Georgia, and now I've been in Florida for 16 years, but I'm not redneck. But I do believe that everyone needs a redneck friend. And there's going to be some instance in your life that you'll need a redneck friend to get you out of. For example, my car broke down. I had a truck that had a mind of its own, and it had broken down in a gas station. And I was broke. I couldn't afford anybody to tow me. So I called my redneck friend. And sure enough, he comes. He says, I got you. I'll be right there. And so he comes. I'm expecting him to have like a tow truck ready or something. I see a little S10 just like mine. So an S10 is pulling another broken down S10. I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's got something I'm not seeing here. So he hops out, gets in his toolbox, and I'm not talking about like a chain, you know. I'm talking about maybe one that would keep a cat out of your yard. It was so thin, and I'm thinking, what on earth are we doing here? So sure enough, he crawls under my front end of my truck and wraps around my axle, and there wasn't much to put on my axle, so he puts it on my bumper. So I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to be going down in Winter Haven. My redneck friend came and rescued and got me out of the problem that I was in. So everybody needs a redneck friend. I don't know how I got on that, but there you go, that was free. But I do not know much about fire, or I don't know much about fire. I do know that you don't want wet wood to start a fire. It's extremely difficult to do that. So as I read this, I just look at it that Elijah was going above and beyond to prove, not to him, because he already had it settled in his life who God was. And it wasn't even so much to unconvince the prophets of Baal because they were set in their ways. The people that were in the balance that day was the people that he had a burden for. God's people that were on the fence. So he goes above and beyond. He takes a trench, makes a trench. He takes fills four barrels of water, and he begins to pour out the water on the sacrifice, the wood, and then it would fill up the trench. And so this is where we see him praying before he goes any further. Look at verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Elijah was burdened for his people to witness the power of God. Now it's my desire, it's my burden for my people and my family to see God for themselves, to see God working and see God's power for themselves. Naomi is going to be raised up on stories of what God did in her daddy and mom and daddy and mommy's life. But I want it to be real in her life. I want her to experience God for herself, and I want that for my people as well. But lastly, we see this, number three. Not only did Elijah's faith produce in him a boldness, and as God's people, we need to be bold about what we believe and be living out our faith in a bold way. We need to have a burden for souls and for people. Number three, because Elijah did the first two, he had a faith in God. He had a boldness produced in his life. He had a burden for his people. It resulted in the blessings of God. Amen. Look at it with me in verse number 38. He just prays and says, amen. I'm not Pentecostal. I'm not trying to get excited, but this is exciting stuff. Look at number 38. So he just says, amen. He opens his eyes, and guess what happens? Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. And just pause right there. If you prayed for fire and you said amen and you look up and fire came, what would that do to your prayer life? That would get you going, wouldn't it? Got excited. And I can imagine Elijah stepping out by faith, and he's not sure that God is even going to honor his request. He is stepping out literally on the limb for this, and he is putting God to the test. He says amen, and fire from the Lord fell. I'm telling you what, I'm sure he was just on cloud nine, in tune with God, and God is answering his prayer. Not only did fire fall, it consumed the burnt sacrifice, which was wet, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, which was also wet. Look, just because he's God and he can, and the stones too, the fire that fell from heaven, it consumed the stones and the dust, and just because he can, licked up the water in the trench too. That's the God that Elijah had faith in. And listen, we can get excited today, not because, oh, that was a neat story. That God of Elijah in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 18 is the God we serve today. That's the God that we serve today. And yes, he did miracles like that before, and you're looking at me like, he won't do that again. You know, because you probably don't have the faith to test him out on again. He did it back then. He can do the same today. Just because he did that back then, he's still God today, is he not? He's still God today, and he's still alive and well. And he's wanting and waiting for people to step out like Elijah did in order to bless them with the things that we see him blessing them with. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. If the story ended there, it'd be wonderful. I'm sure we can all leave here challenged through it. Doesn't stop there. God is a wonderful God, and he chooses to bless his people that live by faith. He goes on. Look at it with me. So he blessed Elijah with fire falling from heaven. But look at this. Elijah's not done. He's batting 1,000 right now. He's going to keep going. Look what it said in verse number 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Where was he getting that from? Was it raining when he said that? Was it even overcast when he said that? I'm sure Ahab's looking around thinking, what are you talking about? But listen, the same God that brought down fire, what's a rainstorm? What's a rainstorm to God? And look at it, verse number 2. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and saith, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. So God not only blesses his servant that stepped out by faith with fire, now he blessed him with an abundance of rain, a great rain. And Ahab, I'm sure he's going to be a good sport and say, you know what, Elijah, you're right. Your God is the one true God. I admit it. Nope, he got in his chariot. He's running away in shame. Doesn't stop there. God's not through yet. God's not through blessing out his man that stepped out by faith. Look at it with me in verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Ahab has got a head start on him. He is in a chariot with horses going pretty fast. Lord, just because he can, chooses to strengthen Elijah's legs, and Elijah not only catches him, but runs before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. What am I trying to say this morning? I'm just trying to say to encourage the pastor, the missionary, the layman, the high school students. I'm just here today to remind you that we have a great God that we serve. We serve a great God that's more than capable to get you through whatever valley that you're going through. We went through a trying time in our church. One of our trustees left and accused us of being contemporary and against repentance and just a bunch of nonsense, and got mad and left. And his influence was very influential in all the church members there. And it was just a real tough time for my wife and I. We don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to vote us out? What's going on? And we just decided just to pray about it and trust God. If God led us from Polk County, Florida, to the Saratoga County in the mountains of New York, God's got this. So we just decided to trust God with it. And long story short, so I went into the trustee meeting with the rest of the two trustees, not knowing what to expect. And I sat down, I was fully ready to accept whatever they were going to throw at me. And we sat down, and he just looked at me and said, preacher, don't even say anything. We're glad that he's gone. Okay, well, all right. Okay. Here I am, got my resignation letter and everything in order, and he's like, we're glad they're gone. And a wise man once said, and I'm not happy that they're leaving their people, and hopefully they go to a good church, but this friend said it, not even me, my friend said that every church needs a good bowel movement every now and then. So, I guess that was true, but when they left, the spirit has been so much better. Spirit's been better. The Lord's continued to bless. But whatever valley you're going through, if it's financial, if it's a loss of a loved one, ministries split, church members leaving, let me just remind you that the God that we read about that made fire fall from heaven, made it rain out of nothing, and strengthen a man's loins that he could run supernaturally fast. God's got this. God's got this. God's in complete control, and we just need to trust him with it. If I could leave you with just a summary of what we talked about, we all profess to know Christ our Savior and have placed our faith and trust in him for our souls. Now it's just time we do the same in the everyday aspects of our life too. If the God of heaven can eternally secure our souls, he can take care of the aspects of our ministries. Faith. If you have faith in that God this morning, it should be resulting in producing in us a boldness that in spite of pastors being arrested in New York for preaching against the drag queens that are reading to our children in the libraries, we can still go forth boldly. We should be a bold witness in giving out the gospel everywhere we go. Just because they're passing laws in election years next year doesn't mean we cower down and cut out sections of the Bible that may offend people. Have faith in God and continue preaching and being a witness for Christ with boldness. number two, a faith in God should result in us having a burden. You know, I had grand ideals of what a pastor was going to be when I was in Bible college. It was going to be every time I took the pulpit, people would just bow down and weep at the altar, and people would just flock to come hear me preach at church. That was perception. Then there's reality, okay? Then there's reality. And when you look out, it's pretty hard. You know, you see your core crowd's a Wednesday crowd, and it's you, your wife, and four other people. I'm not going to be honest with you and real with you. It's discouraging sometimes. Not because you want so many people to hear you preach that you're something special, but it's that many more people that could have gotten help by coming that night. And every time the Word of God is opened, it's beneficial and profitable, and they're not getting what God would have them to get. That's what burdened me about it. And I'm just looking there at four people, and I'm thinking, you know what? It was never about numbers in the beginning. It's not going to be about numbers now. My burden isn't less of a burden for people based upon how many people sit in the congregation. I still have a burden to reach New York and Saratoga County and abroad with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have a burden for people. Have a burden for our families to witness the power of God for themselves. We see so many different trends now in our Christian schools and godly children that are, as soon as they graduate, you never see them out the door. You know why? Because they were raised up on stories about God. They were raised up about tales about what God could do and has done, but they never made it theirs. God never became their God. It was always the God of mom and dad, the God of Brother Maxwell, the God of Pastor Carter. It wasn't their God. And lastly, I'm not preaching a prosperity message today, but I do believe that God blesses faithfulness. And I believe I'm standing on a pulpit of a man that's a testament to that. He came to Haines City, Florida, Orange Grove Town. I believe 37 people voted him in. And look at what God's done. God's done it. And not because our pastor is this, you know, awesome man per se, but it's just because he serves an awesome God. He's been faithful to that God, and God's blessed him for it. I firmly believe if we just keep at it, keep faithful, God will bless us. God will bless us as he sees necessary. God could, I could preach that church in New York and not see any growth. But if I'm where I'm supposed to be, preaching how I know I'm supposed to be doing, God's blessing me because I'm being faithful and I'm where I'm supposed to be. Hold forth the line. I've just convinced myself if I have to be the pastor, it's just responsible in my time just to hold the line. Just to hold the line and keep the church together and give my life's blood and my ministry sweat and tears that the next pastor can come and continue to see growth. I'll do it. And some of the older guard are passing off the scene. You've done a great job holding the line. My prayer is that preachers like us coming in your places will continue to hold it just as strongly. Thank you so much. Let me preach. Pastor Carter.
Well, that's right on point, brother. Proud of Brother Morton there. And what he brought out of that passage was right on. As an older preacher, I'm glad to see younger men coming on with that boldness, with that burden, all that he shared with us this morning. And we're proud we've been able to have a part, and we're proud to see somebody following on like that. Amen. That is good. The whole morning has been good. Every message has just fit together real good. What a way God has ministered to us today. We praise the Lord for it. We ask you to stand. We're going to get ready to eat here. And we want all the preachers and missionaries and full-time workers to stay with us. We're hoping the ladies have anticipated the crowd. I think maybe they have. They're real good over there about fixing things for us. And so we want you to stay and eat with us. Again, the preaching has been tremendous. And we start up again tonight at 6:59, right? Yes, sir. 6:59. We used to start at 7, then we changed it. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have the blessing. We got so many visiting preachers out there among us, and we appreciate every one of you coming. Brother Rex Carringer, would you ask the blessing for us, please?
Father, thank you for the spiritual food this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for the preachers.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to bless this church and conference. Thank you for the food. Bless the fellowship. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.